You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman, a Randy Warriors hat on the fantasy executive today.
Yeah, this is the era. This is the Warriors logo from the Latrell Sprewell era.
Really?
And also into Steph Curry's rookie year also. When you've been a fan for a long time,
it was red.
You would know these things.
That was a great era.
They were
PJ
red.
PJ got choked out.
Yeah, PJ,
I'll
yeah.
never forget that.
That was my original era of Warrior basketball.
How about that? Yeah. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good news. Warriors are very good. Knicks won last night, so that's good too. It's a new era here on Roto Express. We have new eras a lot. And the newest era has us going back to 3 hours, and today
I'm excited.
Today is the debut of the 3 hour Roto Express program. How about that?
It's pretty fun, you know what I'm saying? 3 hours, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Obviously, Wild Card Weekend was a treat, so we can discuss and talk about a lot of that stuff. And we just got plenty of time to get into whatever. I got something else I would like to get into and know you guys' opinion about.
That'd be fantastic.
A little bit later on in the program, if you would like to talk about it.
I would be ecstatic to talk about it.
All right. You don't even know what it is.
You know what? We bring it. We're a family here. It's not just one person coming up with topics. It's a team.
Yes.
It's a team effort.
We can talk about a lot of things.
We can.
We have 3 hours to talk about
it.
That's 180 minutes.
Yep. And then you got to give some of that time to Scott, too, though.
It's only about 11 minutes or so.
Yeah, but be careful.
Okay, I appreciate that.
But no, because he spews propaganda.
Oh, no.
He's a propaganda guy.
He's a propagandist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Matt Modica, sir, how are you? How are you feeling today?
You know, I'm doing all right. It was a fun week leading up to
sure.
it and stuff, and it was great to be back into the playoffs. Wish I wasn't harassed as much as I was yesterday afternoon for other nonsense, but, you know, I got through it. The Bills... It was a game they could have won. It was
Absolutely.
A full task going on the road. But all in all, successful season. Looking back, when the season started, I wanted the franchise quarterback. I still do want the franchise quarterback.
Sure.
So it is what it is.
Listen, I mean, I know it's easy to say, but you're a franchise quarterback away from a pretty good team, especially with the defense as good as it is. And you knew the defense would step up yesterday, and they did. We're getting to the Bills in a few moments. But you know, like you said, it was a long wait to get there. And
I think the main reason I wanted to see them win is just so Bills Mafia could have continued for another
sure.
week.
Somebody would have got hurt.
Did you see that guy? Did you see that guy? On those porta potties jumping off?
Yeah, the Ultimate Warrior.
The guy on the floor.
The Bills Warrior. Yeah. Somebody, if they would have went to New England next week, somebody would have got hurt.
But like, yeah. Actually, though, they would have gotten hurt.
Somebody would have got hurt. Somebody would have seriously got hurt if they had went to New England.
It just keeps escalating.
Yeah,
escalating.
It really does.
Somebody's going to jump off a plane and then throw a table.
Somebody's going to get set on fire and burned to death, and somebody's going to get seriously injured.
Yeah. They were a big story yesterday, Bills Mafia.
They were.
Because they got to Jacksonville and they showed out. I mean, they was tables were destroyed all over the place.
100%.
But then they messed it up after the game when they started setting stuff on fire and stuff like that. That was a bad look.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get a Wild Card Weekend a little bit here. So, Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Wildcard Weekend in the books. How's your playoff fantasy team looking, Matt?
I had Steelers and Rams, so the Rams part not so good. But we will see. I mean, if the Steelers go to the Super Bowl, I have a shot.
All right, so we'll see that. I think mine did pretty well. I'm going to have to look into it, but I think we had a very a good weekend, so I'll let you know in a few moments.
One of mine did very well.
You also told us that Alex Smith's going to the Super Bowl. So
I had two. That's the one that actually did well, though.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I feel like
but now there's no quarterback on that team.
Seems like a problem.
Yeah, but that team is good. That team has, we'll see.
That was, once again, Andy Reid ruined the Chiefs season.
Andy Reid, yeah, that's not so good. All right, so let me get into it here. We'll start at the beginning. Andy Reid ruining the Chiefs season. Chiefs get up 21-3 in this one, and I'm at a wedding at the time, and we're getting ready to.
Oh yeah, you're Jags.
Do the ceremony, my Jags fan friend. Yeah, and we're sitting there on our phones, and it's 21-3 before the ceremony starts, and we're like, "This is exactly what we expected." And I'm just like walking around, and I had friends that like took the Chiefs and they teased it down, so they had them at like 3-point favorites or 4-point favorites or whatever. And I'm like, this is so unnecessary. Like, you're costing yourself money by doing this. Like, you don't need to tease it down. Like, just whatever. Take the 8 points. Who cares? And 21-3, it was like the most obvious thing ever. So then right before the ceremony starts, we look at our phones again. It's like, all right, 21, like, 16. What the hell is going on here? And so we literally, right before we went in, we saw Mariota throw a touchdown to himself. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Go to the ceremony, we come back, the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs. I'm like, what the hell is going on? So, I looked into it a little bit, and it seems like Matt's right. Andy Reid cost himself a shot to go to New England.
And just before we break this down, you mentioned about everybody teasing down the Chiefs.
Yeah.
On Twitter, one of the big gamblers, I believe his name is Jimmy Vaccaro.
Sure.
He placed a bet, he took the Chiefs' money line,
okay,
$46,000 to win $10,000.
That's a bad feeling. That's a
And he
bad...
had to be 21-3.
Yeah, you're feeling great.
Oh, man.
But hey, you're feeling great. Okay, so, like I said, I'm at this wedding, so the game opens up. And it's kind of everything you thought, right? Like,
it was everything a Chiefs fan could have wanted, expected in that first half. I was doing Fantasy Gold with Tony Sankata.
Yep.
And we would talk, trying to watch the game, do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look like Andy Reid. Tony said it. And he had, I just love saying this word, he had the placard in front of his mouth. And
right.
It seemed like he was calling the plays and stuff like that. Alex Smith looked good. I mean, Tyreek Hill even dropped a couple of passes,
right.
But Tyreek Hill to me is somebody I'm just falling in love with. Somebody, sure, I wasn't on this year,
right?
And in this nonsensical thing I was forced to do yesterday, I almost thought about taking him at the turn. That's how much I like his stock going into next year. He to me is definitely a second round wide receiver. And Travis Kelce, and you go back the last year and a half. I mean, the yardage this guy puts up, he is such a key cog in this offense, and what a hit he took. Mm-hmm. What a hit he took.
It sounded like an AFC North hit. That joint was wow.
Yeah. See when he got up?
It was wobbly.
And Hunt, the first half, Hunt, the one thing, remember when he had that drop-off? He got no, they didn't have any opportunities, sure, inside the five. That's one of the things you can't help as a player. And he got the ball, scored the touchdown. So as you were stating, everything looked great. They were dominating. And you still felt like they kind of should have been up more.
Mm-hmm.
And 21-3, you had to feel good. And the storyline was the defense couldn't stop anybody. But you know what, too? The offense has to get some first downs. And
So it's 21-3. And in the game, that is that score. I looked into it, obviously, preparing for the show yesterday. And I'm like, 21-3? How is it a 21-3 game and they finish with Kareem Hunt having 11 carries? How is that possible?
Because that's they did. They went back in the second half after Kelce went out.
Right.
They forgot how to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They forgot what the bread and butter of that team was, and that's getting Kareem Hunt the football 20-plus times a game. They got into... You said it before I left. When I told you about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
you said you can put his arm on Andy Reid.
I did say that.
And you were absolutely correct. It's this dude right here. Andy Reid's a great coach, but this guy right here, man, this is an amazing... thing where they just go away from the game plan altogether all the time. We saw the jet sweep and the shovel pass and all of that stupid Andy Reid stuff that from the middle of the season that killed Kareem Hunt's value came right back up in the second half of that playoff game and it caused them the season.
Right, so it was just like...
The game was a microcosm of their season.
So Travis, you're actually right. Yep. You go up 21-3, Travis Kelce gets hurt, and instead of then be like, okay, now we really have to rely on Kareem Hunt, just do Kareem Hunt. What did they do?
Let's get fancy.
Four carries in the second half.
How is that possible?
If you look at that four-week span where they lost four games in a row, Kareem Hunt had a total of 47 carries. That's the difference. If you go to the game logs, you look at the wins versus the losses, pretty much everything is when he's... It started in Dallas when he got nine carries versus a Dallas team, which he should have been able to exploit, and only played 31 snaps. And the defense does have to come up with a play, yes. But if you look at the game afterwards, look at what Atlanta did. Okay, Atlanta's a more seasoned team. They were in the NFC Championship. But look what they did in that second half. And we'll get to that game, but I just want to point this out. They had methodical, long, eating up the clock drive. Just get a couple of first downs.
Yeah.
You got the game in your favor like that. You're at home. All you really got to do in that second half is pound the rock, run that clock out, and don't turn the football over. That's it.
That's it.
But they decided that they wanted to get cute. And as they got cuter, then you start to see the Tennessee Titans gain confidence. And I tell you something. This kid, Mariota, for the terrible season he had these past couple of weeks, he's really showed his swag. Like, he's really gotten down and fought for that team. Now it's going to come to an end on Saturday night. But he sort of rebounded these final two games, but you feel a little bit better about him going into next year.
You know what's crazy is that you were so right, Corey, in that Kareem Hunt just needed to... You pound the rock, and we always want teams to be aggressive when you have the lead because you fall on laurels and all of a sudden the comeback happens. I thought the Saints will get to that, of course, as well. I think the Saints did that, and we'll talk about the fourth down play in a little while. They did it, and they were aggressive, and it wound up working out. But Kansas City, like... You're 21-3. Give the ball to Kareem Hunt, and if that's not successful, then go away. Give him a chance. Four carries in the second half when you're up 21-3, and Marcus Mariota is turning the ball over in the red zone, and he's still rebounding. I don't understand how you get away from your game plan.
Can we talk about Mariota a little more?
Absolutely.
I agree with Corey. He came up big for them, and I believe he was injured for most of this season. And as Corey stated, will he ever be fully healthy for a season? That's a big question mark. But he did have a couple turnovers. Maybe they weren't ruled turnovers, but they looked like turnovers to me. And that kind of saved him. But it wasn't Mariota that won this game for them. It was Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And it took DeMarco Murray injury for this guy that everybody else saw, Malarkey's the head coach, everybody else, whether it's fantasy, everybody was like, give Henry the ball. It's a changing of the guard. We saw this. And Henry carried that team in that fourth quarter.
Is it fair to say, Matt, that one team, despite being down 21-3, one team had a game plan, and they stuck with it. And that was getting the ball to their running back and seeing what he could do, and seeing if he could, on their back, get in the next round. The other team had a running back that could have relied on him, and they didn't. And they got too cute, and they got too fancy. And the team that relied on their running back, who we all saw was dominating...
The dude led the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing. You got him in your backfield.
11 carries!
And you got an 18-point lead at home in the wild card game. What the hell is that? That's crazy. It makes no sense. Listen, we came into this game thinking that Mike Malarkey may not be able to be back. Now, obviously, you bring Andy Reid back. But something on that staff has to change. Something on that staff has to change. This is why Andy Reid was ran out of Philadelphia.
100%.
Because of stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Because Andy Reid, for as great as he is, at some point, he just loses it. I don't know if he has dementia.
I'm the owner,
if he forget where he was at.
If
he forgot where he was at.
I'm owner, wherever. Andy Reid has to give up the play call, which it seemed like he did take it back over.
I agree with that.
And, that went south. Malarkey, look, I'm not the biggest
fan. We'll get to it. When Malarkey, we're going to talk about that in 2 minutes from now. We're going to go on YouTube. We're talking about how this whole thing affects Mike Malarkey.
Can I make a Corey Davis comment?
Yeah, please.
He was injured in preseason, and then he came out, played that game, then he was on, injured for another like 8-7 weeks. We didn't see the guy. Came back in, he never got the ball. And this is a guy that you're not probably going to have to pay a high price for next year, but he has the talent. And you see this guy running down the sideline, wide open. And Mariota just misses him.
Yeah.
That's like, in fairness to Mariota, next play he did get it to Decker, but that's something, you gotta have.
You know what was interesting? After watching, before this game, I'm sitting with all my friends at the hotel, and
where'd you go?
Hotel for a wedding.
I know that, but the wedding was in New York.
Hotel.
I'll talk about that off the air.
Okay. All right.
We're sitting there at the hotel.
Private.
And you were sitting there, and like, all right, we're all Giants and Jets fans for the most part. Oh, the Giants have a number 2 pick, Jets have a number 6 pick. And they're like, would you trade your pick for Marcus Mariota right now? And I'm like, yeah.
You would?
I would, for sure.
Interesting.
No question. And the Jet fans are like, yeah. And there was one Jet fan that was like, I don't want to do that. And all the Giants fans are like, yeah, we'll do that.
You just had to see Eli Manning, so I guess you would.
Correct. And they thought it was an interesting question. And I was like, listen, Marcus Mariota had a down season. He may never be healthy, you're right. He can play in the NFL. I don't have any idea if Josh Rosen will be any good or Sam Darnold. I don't know. Mariota can play in the NFL. And we're going to talk about how good he should be when we come back. Because as good as it was that they won this game, and it's great for whatever, was it great for the franchise? I explain, and we talk about Mike Mularkey next on YouTube.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome inside Studio 34. I'm Greg Sussman in a small chair. This is Corey Parson.
In a big chair.
In a big chair. He's a fantasy executive. This is Wall Street Matt Modica. Welcome inside here in our New York City studio. And Wildcard Weekend. It's in the books. We're moving on to the division round. And one of those teams that are moving on to the division round are the Tennessee Titans, upsetting the Chiefs, which I think was like the biggest lock for all of us. All weekend was the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they fell immediately. And the Titans moved on. And the rumor on literally Saturday morning was that Mike Mularkey's job was in jeopardy, not just till the end of the season, even though they made the playoffs. If they lost that game, he was done. And it certainly seemed to be a realistic scenario.
Yeah.
Instead, the Titans win. And now they go on to New England. Of course, the owner and whoever released a statement. You know, Mike Mularkey's our head coach. I was like, that wasn't really like a vote of confidence. It was just like, Mike Mularkey's our head coach. And he will be the coach for next year. He wins the game, he survives the next year, and you win the division round, you're probably not going to get fired, realistically. So Mularkey's back. Did winning this game for the Tennessee Titans, did it put them in a position that's actually worse off than they would have been if they lost?
No, I don't think so. I think they had... You got to look at what they did down the stretch these past two games. So you can't, it's a situation where that's a team that's going out there and they're giving it all and they're battling. The way they got into the playoffs, they had some big plays down the stretch in that game. And then when you look at what they did in the second half yesterday, you saw a team that was not going to give up. You saw a team down 18 points on the road in a playoff game that continued to fight. And that's a part, and that's coaching that does that right there. So, yes, at times throughout the course of the season, it looked bad. Did you have higher expectations for the Titans? Yes, correct. But I do not think that he should have been, that Mularkey should have lost his job after this or even next week or whatever. Okay. I think that's a team that's out there fighting for their head coach, because when you're on the road down 18, you can easily give up and pack it in. The reason why they didn't have, you have to take a coaching into consideration.
You know, interesting, Matt, is that this, it's, Smash Mouth, this exotic Smash Mouth that people has made fun of over the last 2 years. Last year, when they faced all these weaker defenses and the schedule was great, everybody loved the exotic Smash Mouth, right? Like coming into 2018, people, it wasn't a joke so much anymore, in that it was like
something you wanted to be a part of.
Exactly. You wanted to be part of that exotic Smash Mouth. This year, it became a punchline again. And you look at, I'm going to be honest with you. You just look at the coaching staff. You see Mike Mularkey, who's 75 years old. Mm. You see Terry Robiskie, who's 85 years old. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, these guys cannot connect. You see Dick LeBeau, who's actually like 95 years old.
He's 100. Right? 101, like Kurt Douglas.
Dick LeBeau's going to die in the field.
But actually, you see this staff and you're like, man, I wish they had, again, we'll do the Sean McVay route, you wish they had some youth, something that could be more actually exotic to this offense that could work with the Marcus Mariota. You almost wish that, like, man, he paired about Mariota and Chip Kelly again, like, that could be magic here on the sidelines. And instead, they stick with this as veteran of a veteran staff, guys that have been around forever, that have been hired and fired and hired and fired repeatedly, and that staff now has them into the division round. So I asked you the same question I asked Corey. Are they taking a step, one step forward with this win, but two steps back?
I think with Mariota at quarterback, I would want a young offensive. I'm always for the pro. I'm looking at what is this league now? It's an offensive league. And if you look at what the Rams did, they went and got the young, hot guy, offensive mind. But what did he do? He said, I'm going to get Wade Phillips as my defensive coordinator.
Yes.
So, and if you want to say the exotic smash mouth, yes. But what did he do all season? He kept putting out a DeMarco Murray who wasn't healthy, Derrick Henry who looked better than him. I understand loyalty. And I'm loyal to a fault sometimes in fantasy and in real life.
Oh, we know in fantasy.
But at some point, you have to say, who's the better player here? Who gives my team the better chance to win? And you have to move on from that. And I wouldn't want to Chip Kelly in the NFL.
Okay.
I don't think, I think that's been proven. His brand is good for the Pac-12. It works there. Mm-hmm. I'm happy, as you said, Bruin, that he's there. But in the grand scheme of things, yes, they pulled off an impressive 18-point deficit. They erased it on the road in Arrowhead. The Chiefs haven't won a home game since Joe Montana in 1994. So in the long run, yeah, I do think it stunts the franchise.
Okay, so you do believe it stunts the franchise. Corey, I agree with both of you, in all honesty. Like, it probably ultimately does stunt the franchise, but you can't fire a guy and a staff that really is on the brink here. You beat Jacksonville in a must-win game, a team that's still in the playoffs.
Yep.
You beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, a team that you thought and many people thought
could go to the Super Bowl.
Go to the Super Bowl. This is the year they're going to beat New England finally.
Down 18.
Down 18 at halftime. You beat them.
They're playing for him.
They're playing for him.
They're playing for him. They're right. Playing for the coaches. They're playing for the coaching staff. Is this going to set the franchise back eventually? You can't really say that because you could bring somebody in that they don't play for. Whenever people talk about firing the head coach, one thing you have to remember is who you're going to bring in.
Right.
Oh, that's the whole Andy Reid on. Yeah. I give you that. But my thing is, was Derrick Henry playing for malarkey or showing how good he is and what he can do and how he's been held back basically all season?
Well, I don't know that in this case, that matters because he played hard for, and ultimately he played hard for Malarkey.
Whenever he got
and for
snap.
Himself and for his team, he did. And there's been, at least from our perspective, and we're not like on the ground in Nashville at all, but
EY is.
EY is indeed.
Yes.
But how he feels today. You haven't heard of a word of, oh, we hate Mike Malarkey so much. Delanie Walker, but there was a whisper, I think, Delanie Walker said we had to overcome the scheme, I think.
Yeah.
At some point, he did say that. Besides that, there hasn't been a lot of chatter and chirping, right?
Here's my thing. Like, look, they got the 9 wins. They got in. They went to Jacksonville and stuff that last week. They had a face to a first down. They got that victory. Got them into the playoffs. I thought, when I looked at the win totals this year in the preseason, I saw 8.5 for Tennessee. And I was like, that's what I want to bang out. And eventually they did get the 9 wins.
Yeah.
And winning 9 games to me, as somebody that saw his team in the playoffs for the first time in 7 years, is not an achievement.
More than 7 years.
I mean 17. 17 years. It's not that big of an achievement. I want to look at the big picture. And as great as it was to have this week leading up to yesterday and the Bills being in the playoffs and watching these crazy people jumping off things, I'm looking big picture, and Trey White was probably almost as good as Lattimore, if not as good. And we got him in the 27th round, and we got a first-round pick this year for that. I'd still rather have Pat Mahomes.
And you've said that a lot, and I was really the opposite of that, right? Like, I was the one that said, listen, you have an Alex Smith guy that Corey believes, and many people believe again, going to get you to the Super Bowl. And ultimately, wasn't able to. And they're going to go to Pat Mahomes, who is, I think, the perfect example for this conversation, because it's almost like, all right, he's on the horizon. He has to be better because he's new and he's fresh and he's young and he's exciting. But there's no guarantee.
No, but
like if you replace Malarkey, there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee.
The younger guy or whoever the new guy is going to be any better.
He will have his lumps, but we talk about this new breed of quarterback. Mahomes can move around the pocket. You don't have to be somebody that runs. Aaron Rodgers makes plays last, and that's how guys, you know, he isn't running all the time, you know, putting his head down, but he buys the time. And the arm that Mahomes has, and what he can do on the run, and I promise you next year he'll have his ups, and he'll definitely have his downs in a full rookie season on the field. But if I'm the Chiefs and I look at my offensive weapons in Hunt, Hill, and Kelsey, and I put this up-and-coming quarterback with a big arm and some mobility, I'm excited.
I think when people look at the situation in Tennessee, they go break it down, and the naysayers will say, well, Derrick Henry should have been getting more work all throughout. But this kind of did, the way they worked, it kind of did work for them. They got the Jacksonville W. They come back in the second half on the road. They get that big win. Now Henry was the guy that carried them down the stretch. He looked phenomenal doing so. But I don't think it's any different than what we thought. We knew coming into the season that they were going to run DeMarco Murray into the ground this year. They effectively have done that by this point. They have run DeMarco Murray into the ground the last year that he's under contract with them. They'll move on and they'll go over to Henry now, and he'll be their lead dog moving forward. So I think you want to give this team another year in Milwaukee in this scheme and this system to see where they're at. Maybe just get Mariota as healthy as you can and make another run at it next year. Right now, for them to be in this spot going into Gillette, you know, in the division round of the playoffs,
yep,
this is a successful season for the Tennessee Titans.
I have no problem.
And they only played two good games.
I have no problem with running DeMarco Murray into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, the guy was never healthy. He was, look, and I give him credit for wanting to be on that field every week. He was talking about playing with like a third degree tear, it's an MCL or whatever, I don't know. But at some point, you got to say, what's better for the team? This guy, you know, he wants to be out there. He'll die on a hill for us, and that's great. I love players like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's not healthy, and he's not 100%, and you have other options, so at some point, that's got to fall on the coach to me as well.
I really don't disagree with you, but I don't think, without the obvious candidate there,
there's nobody there.
They can't make the move.
What do you hire Josh McDaniels?
Right. It's not. He's the biggest name you can get.
Yeah. And
I'm not saying you just fire him to hire anybody, but you can do a search. I'm sure there's guys in there's either offensive coordinators.
Give me a name.
Top of my head, I don't have college ranks. Look, and when you go to college, you have to go. You have to go for guys that can run a pro scheme and succeed in that level.
I agree, but there's ultimately you don't know that they can. You're at a question mark. You have a guy that brought you the division championship round. You're in the final eight.
I think he needs, if he's going to lose a job, he needs to have a bad season and lose a job. He needs to lose a team, lose a locker room, stuff like that.
Right.
Is that the situation here?
The ultimate thing I always ask is, can this guy lead us to a Super Bowl? That's the win or lose question for me.
Well, I'll tell you this: if they can manage to wind up somehow winning on Saturday night, I have a feeling your song will change.
Hey, look, you beat the Patriots
in Foxborough.
Yeah, that would be
you do that. Talk about that spread coming up as we guess the spreads a little bit later on in the program. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, appreciate you watching. We're going to be joined by the King, Scott Engel. I'm not really sure what we're talking about with him, but we'll figure it out. Corey and Matt will take a break, and we'll talk to you on the other side with the King, Scott Engel, next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, joined by the host of Fantasy Sports Today, which airs 6 a.m. Eastern Time live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, with the one and only Hall of Famer, the King, Scott Engel. What's going on, Scotty?
Good morning. Now available on demand as well for those of you who may have missed it. And also I'll be starting today hosting the Fantasy Sports News Desk with Tony Cincotta from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
It's amazing. As many times as you guys are separated, you always go back together. You're like a magnet.
I guess so. I can say that about me and you, too.
Well, I mean, you and Tony, even longer for you and Tony, Scotty.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll always find my way back to you, too.
Okay, sweetie, okay. You always find your way back. How was your weekend, man?
I was busy, you know, watching a lot of football, a lot of basketball.
Okay. Did you do anything else, maybe? Take the wife, the kid, something? Nope.
This weekend was about watching the divisionals and...
Wild card weekend, know, was that special.
Seeing wild cards and... you know, then watching the Knicks actually win on the road last night. You know, good performance by Kyle Quinn getting a double-double. You know, some deeper leagues has been helping people. And, you know, thankfully, Kristaps Porzingis did look tired last night and had 29 points.
I'll say this again. People are killing him for that. It doesn't bother me. The tired comment. It really doesn't.
I think he was honest, you know, with the media about that. But you could see it, you know, but they're missing Hardaway, et cetera. And there's a lot on his shoulders right now. And some of the other players have to pick it up. Cantor picked up some of it last night. Kyle Quinn did. They played great defense down the stretch. And, you know, the injuries are continuing to happen. It's like I talked about it on Fantasy Sports Today. And you can check out Brandon Williams' weekly strategy guide on rotoexperts.com for the NBA, now along with some good stuff from Chris Ventra as we get you ready for the week in both DFS and seasonal. Just all these injuries. Just got Blake Griffin back. Now he's out indefinitely with a concussion. And you know, now with Kawhi Leonard, the shoulder. Damian Lillard, you don't know if he's going to play Tuesday night. What do you do if you're in a seasonal league? Well, I'm probably going to have to sit Lillard because I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions with Damian Lillard. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the Roto Experts program, how Lillard just hasn't really looked like himself, and he comes back, and he's healthy, and then he's not healthy again, and that's kind of been the story of Damian Lillard's season thus far.
Yeah, but you know what? Especially in daily, like, everybody's really on this. It's Shabazz Napier had another good game last night. And for whenever Lillard is out, you have to get him in there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As soon as Lillard comes out, Shabazz Napier is the guy that you want to own and get into your lineup. You're absolutely right about that, Scotty. But you said you were talking about Wild Card Weekend. We were just discussing the Chiefs and the Titans, and I wanted to get your perspective on that as well, Scott. The Chiefs up 21-3 at halftime, and they don't score another point. Kareem Hunt, 4 carries in the second half. What the hell is Andy Reid thinking?
Well, he's missing Travis Kelce, and I think defensively, you know, when you look at a veteran coordinator like Tennessee has in LeBeau, he made some nice adjustments at halftime. And the thing was, Tennessee was moving the ball in the first half. They weren't finishing drives. In the second half, they definitely were finishing drives. You know, that secondary outside of Marcus Peters, definitely exploitable. They weren't getting enough of a pass rush on Mariota. So you blame the defense, too. A lot of people talking about Kareem Hunt, and that's all valid, et cetera, the offensive game plan. But I think, you know, the blame has to fall on the defense, too.
Well, sure, but Kareem Hunt had four carries in the second half. Four.
Oh, yeah, that I said that's valid. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, a lot of people have been talking about that. You know, that's all the truth, et cetera. But, you know, that's been beaten to death already. You know, the other point is that, you know, the defense and Darrell Revis, you know, he's when he had a chance to make a tackle on Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. you know, he kind of pulled up. And Revis, I even saw that in his prime. It's like, as great as he was, he never tackled.
Sure,
and
sure.
That's the thing with him. And the other thing was with Derrick Henry, that breakthrough game is going to push his stock much higher. Just to, like, obviously going to push him much higher for next year.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if it was you and I, Scotty, that wondered that out loud. I think it was actually the BFFs. We wondered, if Derrick Henry had a good game this Sunday, what is going to happen to that stock? Because you're absolutely right. With him being the man in Tennessee, you saw on Saturday afternoon what he could accomplish. You saw it live and real. And I'm not saying that's going to be every game, but with Mike Mularkey being announced as coming back to the team now, this is the offense he wants to run. Rely on your running back, let Mariota make a few plays here and there, but basically just run the ball, run the ball, and run the ball. Old school football. And if Derrick Henry's by himself, he's going to be a very, very interesting draft pick.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray's going to end up somewhere else next year, and you know, this definitely boosts his outlook because he did in a playoff game, which is more important than anything that can come during the regular season, the fantasy schedule, because you know, playoff games are more important than regular season games. And for him to do it on that kind of stage just proves what kind of potential the guy has. And some running backs can be in a timeshare like an Alvin Kamara and a Mark Ingram, and they can thrive. But, you know, we never saw it with Derrick Henry because some guys are what scouts call rhythm backs, that they need to keep getting fed constantly, get into rhythm and be the guy in order for them to play to their potential. And I think that's obvious with Derrick Henry.
I think so, too. So where do you believe Derrick Henry should go in fantasy drafts 2018?
I think he's going to be like a mid-second rounder next year.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too. I think when you thought, like, going back to 2017, where you had the Jay Ajayis and the Jordan Howards and whatnot go, I think that's what you're looking at for a guy like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and we've been waiting for this to happen for some while. Like, sometimes fantasy players will wait for that next upside guy to make the hit, and sometimes it doesn't happen. But I'd be surprised to see Derrick Henry fail next year as a regular guy. You know, they have the team of the future now with Mariota and Henry and Corey Davis. They have a nice core there.
Yeah, I agree. They have a nice core. We just talked about it on YouTube. You watched the video if you missed it on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube account. We talked about Mike Mularkey and that core. Is Mike Mularkey the right guy to be leading that core, Scotty?
Well, at least they're going to give him another chance for next year. But when you saw him play during the regular season, all the talent they had, you feel like they kind of underperformed. So I don't know if he's the right guy necessarily. People think that he wasn't the right guy when he was first hired either.
That's true, and they still don't. And here he is, having his team in the divisional round against the New England Patriots, and it's crazy because all of the hoopla surrounding New England this past week, now you get the Titans at home, they get back to football. Like I said, the Titans at home on Saturday night, and you have to imagine Bill Belichick and Tom Brady looking their chops for that one.
Yeah, it's always something, you know, whether it's Deflategate or Spygate or whatever, that, you know, teams are, there's negative stuff around the team. You look around in every sport, you know, it happened with the Patriots, it happened with the Seahawks, now it's happening with the Lakers. Win or lose, you know, there's always going to be something about what's going on inside the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always ultimately... always ultimately going to be something inside the locker room. And a lot of times it stays in the locker room. A lot of times it doesn't. I think all the hoopla surrounding New England last week, it's because it never is out in the open. And I said that on the show on Friday, that it's never there in the open for the taking. And this time it is. And it was. And there's no bombshell here. It's just a lot of juicy details. And as a culture, we're into the juicy details.
We are, but at the same time, it's, you know, an NFL locker room is supposed to be considered, you know, the haven for the players, et cetera, you know, where they close the doors. And a lot of things that go on in pro locker rooms just don't get reported because that's considered a private place for the players. And a lot of people want to speculate what goes inside the locker room, but unless people have actually played the game, they're never going to know the full nature of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about that. You never played the game. I don't want to say that so much. But
if you're not consistently in a professional locker room, you're really just speculating, even if you're a media guy, because they only open it for a certain time.
Sure.
You know, guys who have played the game, they act differently, you know, than when they're not around the media. It's a very private, sacred place, and we all want to know what goes on there, but I think most of us don't know what goes on.
But you do have people, I know the locker room is only open for a certain amount, but like you have certain people that these beat reporters, for instance, they're there every day from January 1st, December 31st, right? Like, they're not just there for, you know, a game here and there. They're there every day. And I do feel when I read their articles, they have an idea of what's going on. And maybe they can't report it as it's going on because that will break that sanctity that you were speaking about, Scotty. But when I read these, like, post-mortems, I get it. When I read Seth Wickersham's article, I get it. These people are there.
Right. Well, it's more of the locker room thing with the Patriots, though. You're talking about the dynamic of the organ. It's going beyond the locker room when you're bringing in guys like Kraft and the trainer and stuff like that. You know, you're talking about a whole organizational dynamic there.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, fair enough. I get it. What's going on? What is the debut of, or the re-debut of Fantasy News Desk? What can we expect this afternoon, Scotty?
Well, we're going to have some. We're going to have a lot of football talk. You know, about some of these coaching changes, et cetera. We'll talk about Andy Reid. We'll talk about Blake Bortles. You know, a little bit of NBA, et cetera, because I've been following that, and obviously Tony on that. You know, we'll talk about, you know, some of this LeVar Ball nonsense. You know, the Lakers actually pulled together and won a game last night despite it.
Yeah, LeVar Ball doesn't play for the team, so it wasn't really, it's in spite of LeVar Ball, you know. But
I'm saying in spite of the LeVar Ball controversy that's enveloping the team, you know,
is there a LeVar Ball controversy enveloping, is that a word, enveloping the team?
When you read all the media reports, it certainly sounds like he's trying to run Luke Walton out of town.
Because what? LeVar Ball is just a parent. It's like my dad running my sister's soccer coach out of town. He has that kind of power, which is none. There you go. All right, Scotty, I look forward to listening to the Fantasy News Desk cut off this afternoon. We'll take a break. Come back. Matt Modica and I chat a little baseball with you. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
To football, the start of hour number two. Remember, the Roto Experts now 3 hours long, so we have plenty of time to get to that. We have some DraftKings news we want to cover, some NBA as well, and some coaching changes stuff and general manager stuff that we want to get into as well. So we have a lot going on for the final 2 hours remaining. The national championship games tonight between Georgia and Alabama. So we'll also get to that. So a lot going on here. Roto Experts coming up in a few. But I want to take this opportunity to talk a little baseball with you, Matt Modica, because Miguel Franco was in the news over the weekend, and it kind of brought me back to last year a little bit. Now, Miguel Franco was suspended 3 games from his Arizona Fall or from his Winter League due to conduct detrimental to the team. Basically, he and a bunch of guys were out partying for a little while, and he obviously probably showed up to the ballpark hungover or still drunk, one of the two. He was obviously the ringleader. He gets suspended and whatever. This won't have any bearing on anything in February, I don't think.
Well, I mean, right now his price is so depressed, he's pretty much like free. He's not free, but pretty much.
You know,
he's going like 18th round of 15 team drafts and stuff. So you can get this guy. What has really changed from 2016, if you look back last year? Only thing I see is the BABIP was down. The strikeout percentage, the walk percentage, you know, pretty much identical. His chase rate actually went down. So this kid is, what, 25 years old? Maybe it's a maturity issue. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the case.
Sure.
But he's going into this season, and last year, a lot of people liked him.
A lot of people were on him.
He's got a better lineup this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, better team.
Carlos Santana in there.
Santana, you get a full season of Hoskins. And I'm going to take that shot on him.
So it's really interesting. As you said, his price is, you said, basically free right now. Where is he going?
I think it's like the high teens, and this is 15-team drafts that I've been doing. So if you, he doesn't have to be your starting third baseman.
Right.
He'll be a corner guy for you.
Right.
And I'm not saying this guy's ever going to be great or something, but if you're expecting like 25 home runs, put up, you know, 90 runs, you know, with this offensive team, maybe even driving 100, depending upon where he's in the lineup. We always go to that. Depends, you know, where you are in the lineup and how many runs you can produce. So I'm not going to shy away. I mean, I'm not going to overpay. You don't
sure.
have to right now. And like I said, we talk about last year's trash in football. It applies to baseball. And he's not a guy that I don't think is going to hurt you. Is he going to win you leagues? You know, maybe on his price, he's going to help you in that aspect.
So what's interesting to me, if you look at his 2016, played 152 games, batted 255 with 25 homers, 67 runs scored, and 88 ribbies, right? And he came off the board last year. In what round? What round is he getting drafted last year, give or take?
I'll say seventh. I don't even, maybe even higher.
Because I think you're right. I thought it was like sixth, seventh, eighth, yeah, something like that, right? Let me read you his line last year. 154 games, 24 home runs, 66 runs scored, 76 RBI. So across the board, he had one less home run, he had one less run scored, and he had 12 less ribbies.
And the only thing that changed was the bat.
The only thing that, the bat is not like a fantasy category, but the thing that changed was the average, right? So the average went down from 255 to 230, and that's all related to the BABIP, which was 271 to 234. So ultimately, if you look at Mikel Franco, and you're getting in the 20th round, let's say, or whatever, the same exact player, literally, that you drafted in the seventh round a year before.
I mean, I was arguing last offseason about how I wasn't taking Franco. I was taking Castellano, who was going later on than
sure,
him.
Sure.
And I think is a better player. He's a better hitter.
Right.
I think Castellanos is a guy that can really pop this year.
Yep.
So Franco, to me, is someone that, you know, you get later on that can help you. That's, look, if he's a bust, he didn't ruin your team.
So drop him.
You know what I'm saying? So these are kind of players that nobody wants right now. Nobody
right.
wants Franco.
Mm-hmm.
He's immature. He batted 230. He has a career 260 BABIP.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so look at the career, not what happened last year. If he bats 260 and repeats 25 home runs, what's wrong with that?
I agree. Ultimately, I know everybody hits 20 home runs, but all I look at when I look at Mikel Franco is you're getting the same guy you were getting in the seventh
exactly.
round in the
that's,
20th
that's
round.
That's what you should be looking at.
And I'll take that any day of the week. Take a break. We come back and we talk about the end of the Los Angeles Rams season coming up next.